इति व्यावाचे यस्पन्दवेया प्रयो प्रवेशं प्रति विष्णुपद्यं तदो मुकुन्दाङ्ग्रिमनन्य भावो नु मुनि व्रत मोक्त समस्त संगा. Thus the king, the worthy descendant of the Pandavas, decided once and for all and sat on the Ganges bank to fast until death and give himself up to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who alone is able to award liberation. So freeing himself from all kinds of associations and attachments, he accepted the vows of a sage, purport by his divine grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The water on the Ganges sanctifies all the three worlds, including the gods and the demigods, because it emanates from the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Lord Krishna is the fountainhead of the principle of Vishnu Tattva, and therefore shelter of his lotus feet can deliver one from all sins, including an offense committed by a king unto a Brahman. Maharaj Parikshit therefore decided to meditate upon the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, who is Mukunda, or the giving of liberations of all description. The bank of the Ganges or the Jamuna give one a chance to remember the Lord continuously. Maharaj Parikshit freed himself from all sorts of material association and meditated upon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and that is the way of liberation. To be free from all material association means to cease completely from committing any further sins. To meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord means to become freed from the effects of all previous sins. The conditions of the material world are so made that one has to commit sins willingly or unwillingly, and the best example is Maharaj Parikshit himself, who was a recognized, sinless, pious king. But he also became a victim of an offense, even though he is ever unwilling to commit such a mistake. He was cursed also, but because he was a great devotee of the Lord, even such reverses of life became favorable. The principle is that one should not willingly commit any sin in his life, and should constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord without deviation. Only in such a mood will the Lord help the devotee make regular progress toward the path of liberation, and thus attain the lotus feet of the Lord. Even if there are accidental sins committed by a devotee, the Lord saves the surrendered soul from all sins, as confirmed in all scriptures. In this narration from the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the setting in which this most important of all Vedic literature is about to be spoken. Parikshit Maharaj was such a great and pious king and such an exalted devotee of the Lord. He was born of the most noble parents. His father was Abhimanyu, the heroic son of Arjuna. His wife was the chaste, pious, and most devout Uttara. Bhagavatam describes that Ashwatthama was extremely angry with the Pandavas for two reasons. One is they had defeated the Kurus in this great battle of Kurukshetra, And he was one of the leading generals of the Kurus. And he was one of the very few that survived. And two is Dhrishtadyumna, who was at that time the commander-in-chief of the Pandava army. Against all the proper Kshatriya principles, he killed his father, Dronacharya, after he had already retired from the battle, took off his armor, laid his weapons to the ground, and was sitting in his eyes closed in meditation. Ashwatthama wanted revenge, bitter revenge. He knew that he was helpless to do anything against the Pandavas. So he wanted to destroy the one helpless soul who was the only descendant of the Pandavas. He had already killed the five sleeping sons of Draupadi. There was only one remaining descendant. And this was the child within the womb of Uttara. So by his tremendous mystic power, he called upon the mantra which invokes the mighty Brahmastra. Do you know the Brahmastra is so powerful, it can destroy an entire planet. But it is so accurate that it could destroy the victim without creating any damage to any persons around. More powerful than any of our nuclear bombs today, but it has so much accuracy that he aimed it at the child within the womb of Uttara, and it would not even cause pain to the mother. As this was happening, Uttara, who naturally loves her child, of course today, because of the influence of Kali Yuga, people have become so hard-hearted that even a mother's love for the child is so rare to find. If it was in today's society, the mother would say, oh, very nice, free abortion, free of charge, no price. This is very auspicious. But not like that. She raised her arms up and just cried out for Krishna to save her child because she was helpless. In this way, Lord Sri Krishna responded to the prayers of the mother. And he appeared within the womb. And with his Sudarshan Chakra, he destroyed this Brahmastra weapon. But while he was there, present in the womb of Uttara, Parikshit Maharaj, who was just a little embryo, happened to have the darshan of the Lord. And this influenced his whole life. When he came out of the womb, he was Krishna conscious. He was only interested in Krishna. Krishna has saved me. I owe him everything. And that beautiful form, so charming, nothing in this world can compare to it. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that if you are attached to the things of the senses, even your society, friendship, and love, please do not look upon the beautiful moon-like face of Sri Krishna. Because when you see it, you will lose all your attraction for anything else. Param drisva nivartate. When one experiences something very high, the lower so-called pleasures of life become most insignificant. In this way, Maharaj Parikshit, by the grace of his mother, by the grace of his forefathers, Arjuna, Abhimanyu, who gave his life in the service of the Lord, Yudhisthira Maharaj, his grand uncle. The Lord was so kind upon him. You see, when you become dear to the Lord gives special consideration to be merciful to everything and everyone that is near and dear to you. It was because this child was the grandson of Arjuna, the son of this great devotee Abhimanyu, who sacrificed his life in Krishna's service. Because he was the son of Uttara, who was so faithfully and devoutly chanting God's name in time of great distress, the Lord decided to show his supreme mercy to this child. And this is very significant. This explains the responsibility of every parent and every grandparent. If you want the Lord to be merciful to your child or to your grandchild or to any of your relations, he will be merciful to them to the extent that you surrender your life to him. To such an extent, we find the Lord obliged to those who are near and dear to his devotees. It is explained in Chaitanya Lila that in the home of Srivas Thakur, because Srivas was such a wonderful person, anyone who was near to him, he loved them so much, he had so much compassion and feeling to them, that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come to his house, revealing the most wonderful darshans of Krishna's mercy, he did it freely for all of the family members of Srivas and all of his servants and all of the maidservants. Everyone in the house, even the dogs, even the pet animals that were in the house of Srivas, equally shared the mercy of the Lord. Why? Simply because of their relationship with him. And it is explained, Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya, his son-in-law, Amogha, was such a sinful, blasphemous person, even directly criticizing Lord Chaitanya himself. And because of his sins and his offenses, he came down with the natural karmic reaction of terrible cholera, and he was on his deathbed. And at that time, Lord Chaitanya came to that place, placed his hand on his heart, induced him to chant the holy names of the Lord, and delivered him, and awarded him pure devotional service. This is the extent that the Lord shows his favor to his devotees. There is another story of Shivananda Sen, who became very much attached to a dog. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally feeding that dog Mahaprasad with his own hands and sent him directly back to the spiritual world of Vaikuntha. Just to show, you love your family members? Do you really love them? Or do you just have a superficial, external form of so-called attachment? If you really love them, then you'll do one thing. You will surrender your life to Krishna. Because if you surrender your life to Krishna, Krishna's mercy will be so much abundantly upon all of them and all of your descendants. They will all be liberated. So Maharaj Parikshit was so fortunate because of not the material samskaras, but because of the devotional service of his forefathers and his mother. Krishna personally awakened attachment to him from the very time of the womb. So when Maharaj Parikshit was very young, it is described, he had deities of Radha and Krishna, and he would worship those deities with great love. He would spend his day not just playing all games, but serving Krishna and deriving such bliss and happiness. He would bring bhoga, food to them, He would make garlands with flowers for them. He would bow down for them. He would clap, he would chant, he would dance for them. In this way he spent his childhood. And he was encouraged on all sides by everyone around him. Why? Because he saw that everyone around was such a great devotee. He naturally became a great devotee. You can tell your children so many things, but what they see and what they feel molds their life. You cannot hide anything. If you are angry, if you are envious, if you are greedy, kindness is not to demonstrate these bad qualities before them. But even if you do not, they could feel the vibration. Children are far more receptive to the atmosphere than adults. Because adults are dull-minded. We've seen everything. We already have our fixed ideas of what's going on. So we're not really just open to just assimilate and digest everything. But a child is just exploring the world. A child's mind is like a blank slate. Just everything, just looking, seeing, tasting, touching, just exploring, trying to discover something new. Everything's new. Everything is a new experience. Can you imagine that every aspect of your life is a new experience that you have no recollection of? And therefore, they're so aware that they can just pick up so many vibrations. And it goes right to their heart and molds their character. It is not something of intelligence. It is something that goes much deeper than intellectual understanding. So when a child sees that the parents are really genuinely and sincerely devoted to God, serving sadhus, chanting God's name, performing puja, being charitable to others, this has such an effect. The child wants to be that. Similarly, when a child sees the parent engaging in whimsical activities, engaging in argumentation, wasting their time watching the televisions, going to cinemas, the child becomes, just by that influence, becomes utterly contaminated. And has a natural instinct developed to do all of those things. And then to train that child in spiritual life becomes very, very difficult. First, you've put all this rubbish in their hearts, and then you're asking them to live a pure life. But this is modern society. The parents want the best for the child, but they give them the worst by their example. So therefore, love means sacrifice. If you have love for someone, you will sacrifice all of your bad qualities for the sake of the people around you. Maharaj Parikshit, he was grown up in this atmosphere of Krishna consciousness all around. His association made him such a wonderful devotee. And it is described that even though he was a sinless person, he was completely devout, completely pious, and he was willing to risk his life out of compassion for even the most insignificant of any of his citizens. You know the story how Kali personified was beating a cow and a bull. And at that time, Maharaj Parikshit, he was traveling throughout his own kingdom, not through his armies, but personally. Today, the great rulers, when there's some problem in the world, they go into their bomb shelters, or they go into their mansions, or in their state house where there's guards all around them to protect them while they're sitting in their office making decisions. But Maharaj Parikshit wasn't that type of a leader. He was the first one out to personally see to the protection of those who were in need. And when he saw this cow being mistreated, he became so outraged that he immediately drew his sword and was willing to kill this demon. He was a perfect king, so compassionate, so loving, the friend of all. Anyways, the nature of this world is that whoever you are, you make mistakes. And these, sometimes, if your motives are good, even if you make a mistake, it's not a blemish in your character. You see, people think that a spiritual person is simply perfect in every respect. Only God is perfect in every respect. A person who is his humble servant is perfectly situated at God's lotus feet. But the nature of this material world is even such great souls, by the arrangement of the Lord, appear to make mistakes. But those very mistakes end up to become very favorable in their loving devotion to the Lord. So really, it's not a mistake at all. It just appears to our senses to be. So here we find Maharaj Parikshit. He was out on an excursion, and he was living in the forest, and he became terribly, terribly thirsty. Now, such a great devotee as this, why would he become so much disturbed by thirst? By the will of God. We find even Lord Shiva, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, who's an incarnation of Vishnu himself and who appears in this world as a supreme Vaishnava. Krishna covered him over to chase after the Mohini Murti. And we find Lord Brahma, the original father of every living being and the spiritual master who is the source of all the Vedas. He also did similar. Why? It wasn't that they were fallen. It wasn't that they were imperfect. But Krishna arranged to teach a lesson to society through them. And actually, they found in the end that it was favorable for their loving devotional service. But that is the nature of this world, that it is so complicated that however hard we try, we make mistakes. But if we are rightly situated in the spirit of bhakti, as I have said, and as the Shastra says, those mistakes become a decoration to enhance your love and devotion. So Maharaj Parikshit went to the hermitage of one Samik Rishi, who was sitting in Samadhi. Maharaj Parikshit came in, he said, "Do you know I'm the king of the whole planet? You're not even standing up to greet me? I'm terribly thirsty. You should at least give me little water." But Samik Rishi was just in the Samadhi. He could not hear, he could not see. His senses were completely withdrawn within himself. But Maharaj Parikshit thought that this Brahmin, so puffed up by his high birth, thinks that he's such a great person that he does not have to even show hospitality to a guest, what to speak of a king. He was insulted. And with his bow, he picked up a dead serpent that was laying there and made it, "Oh, you are Brahman? You deserve such worship and credit? That's what you want, is it not? Well, here, take this garland." And he garlanded with a dead snake. Harivo! And then when he left, the son of that Brahmin, Sringi, he heard about what happened and he was very, very angry. He had power. In those days, this was just at the very onset of Kali Yuga, the Brahmin still had tremendous amount of power. Even though he was just a child, he had this Brahma Tejas. But unfortunately, he did not have the realization and the purity of heart to use it properly. This is the downfall of humanity. When the so-called priests and religious leaders who have power and influence over people, when they have impure hearts and they misuse it, it creates havoc. It creates mistrust in spiritual leadership. And then everybody just thinks, whatever my interpretation is all right. And then all the principles of religion become utterly compromised and mixed up. And then, as Krishna says in Gita, what is irreligion is considered to be religion, and what is religion is considered to be irreligion. This all takes place when we lose trust and faith in spiritual leadership. Or even worse than that, when we have trust and faith in spiritual leaders whose hearts are not humble and pure, even if they have great powers. So Sringi, he had the power. He sipped water and he said that on the power of my Brahminical birth, I curse King Parikshit to die in 7 days. Now sometimes we may have known dear people, relatives or friends who caught some terrible disease and they're given 1 year, 2 years to live. And you know what type of mentality that can create. It's shocking. Maharaj Parikshit was given the message that you have been cursed and you have only 7 days to live. The first thing Maharaj Parikshit did, Samik Rishi came to see him. They met each other. And Maharaj Parikshit simply offered his obeisances and begged forgiveness. That I do not know why I have done this, but somehow or other I have done it. So it must be the will of God. And he had the power to reverse that curse if he wanted to. But he considered it such a benediction that he did not want to change anything that God has given to him. It's a gift. Why should I give back a precious gift? Because he understood the purpose of life is not to live a long time, not to just maintain our power in this world. The purpose of life is to develop love of God. And he knew that as a king, his example would be followed by all intelligent people. So he took this as the most wonderful preaching opportunity. I can show the whole world right now what is the real purpose and value of life. So what did he do? He took off all his beautiful jewelry. He took off his royal robes. He took off his crown. He left his throne and he went to the bank of the Ganges. And he sat down and he made a vow. I will not eat anything. I will not sleep. I will simply sit in this holy place in the association of great saintly persons. And I will hear the glories of Lord Sri Krishna. That's all. This is the great benediction that is upon me, that I could end my life in this sweet, loving, devotional atmosphere. And all the great saints and sages throughout the whole world heard about this, and they immediately all came to be a part of this wonderful satsang. And then that great empowered son of Vedavyas, Srila Shukadev Goswami, he appeared. He was only 16 years old, and he was only born a few days before. And there were some of the greatest ancient sages, Asita, Devala, Agastya, Angira, Narada, Vyas. These are great saints who were very, very old, who lived for ages, and they were very wise and very highly realized. But they all unanimously accepted that this Shukadev Goswami is the most fit to speak of all of us. Shukadev Goswami was a social outcast. Materialistic people could not understand him at all. He was wandering through the forest naked, and he appeared like a madman. He followed no social customs whatsoever. And materialistic people simply spat on him, threw stones at him, and made fun of him. But he did not care. The least thing in his mind was to try to impress these gross materialistic people. He was content simply remembering Krishna and chanting his glories. So although a whole group of material people were following him and jeering him, insulting him, he just walked. And he came into the assembly of all these great, 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 great sadhus. And they all stood up to greet him. And they asked him to sit on the Vyasasan, the raised seat, which only the most exalted of all persons is allowed to sit. And at that time, Maharaj Parikshit. Let us look at the difference between Shukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. It's very instructive. Maharaj Parikshit was highly educated. I'm talking really highly educated. He was given the most royal education from his very youth. He was the most successful man on earth. He was the wealthiest man on earth. He was the king of the planet Earth. He lived in beautiful palaces. He had a wonderful family. Today, when people are very successful materially, and they see a sadhu, they think, why doesn't he get a job? Why is he wasting his life? If you want to preach, you have to be a man of society, and you have to have good job, and you have to have good education, and you have to have nice family, and you have to set proper example. Otherwise, people will not listen to you. And besides that, you're simply lazy. Lazy bum, they say. But Maharaj Parikshit, here was Shukadev Goswami. He was only a young man. He left his home at 16 years old. He left his father. He left his mother. He went into the jungles. Cared nothing for any social custom whatsoever. Just immersing his mind only in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And the most exalted, the most learned, and the most powerful and successful man on earth fell at his lotus feet and said, you are my only shelter. Please instruct me. I am your disciple. I am surrendered to you. You are great. I am nothing. Maharaj Parikshit did not come to Shukadev Goswami and begin to explain his qualifications. Today people like to do this. They come before Guru or the sadhus and say, you know, I'm a doctor, or I'm a lawyer, or I'm a big, big businessman, and I have 30,000 employees, and I have done this all on my own. Huh? He could have gone on the whole 7 days just explaining his qualifications, because he had that many. Huh? We can go on for a couple hours. But Maharaj Parikshit, what kind of qualifications this man had? But he simply presented himself as a fallen soul. I'm nothing. I'm ignorant. I do not know the basic answers to the questions in life. Please instruct me. He asked, what is the supreme occupation for all humanity? That was his first question. What is the essence, his most important thing to understand in all the great religious scriptures of the world? That was the second question. And third question was, what is the duty of a man about to die? Today, whatever little a person knows about spirituality, when he comes before a sadhu, generally he just likes to tell everything. Just to show off how much I know. Huh? Maharaj Parikshit was a great learned devotee, scholar, and pundit from his very childhood. But when he came before his guru, when he became before a great devotee in the renounced order of life, he presented himself as someone with no qualification, someone who is simply eager to hear with a submissive heart. Queen Kunti explains, Janmaiswarya Shruti Shribir Edamana Madapuma Naivarhati Vitatum Baitvam Akinchana Gocharam. This means that there are four great, great spiritual disqualifications. One is a good education. Two is a high, prestigious birth. Three is physical beauty. And four is a lot of wealth. These are the things everyone's striving for. People today, when they want to raise their children, what do? They want to give them the highest, best education so that they can have the best wealth, so that they could marry into a good family, and they can be very beautiful. Huh? Isn't this the motive of every parent in today's society? Recently I was speaking to one girl. She was taking biology and chemistry in college, and she had to study so hard every day just to pass her exams and everything else. I said, what are you going to be after you get your graduation? Are you going to be a scientist? She said, no, I'm not going to be a scientist. Well, what are you going to do with this big degree in chemistry? She said, I don't know. You don't know, then why are you taking it? Because my parents want me to take it. Well, why do your parents want you to take it? Because if I have this degree, then they will be able, then I will be fit to be married to a big doctor who will go to America and make lots of money and have a big house. So you mean all this study, all these exams is just to qualify yourself to marry a doctor, but you're never going to use it? She said, probably. So in this way, Queen Kunti said, all these things are the greatest spiritual disqualifications, and the purpose of human life is self-realization, not self-preservation. Why are these things so terrible? They are like curses, because they make one proud. Because when one is proud and hardened in the heart by this pride, by one's qualifications in this world, one is too busy talking about his own glories to hear submissively from saintly persons. And then one's spiritual life is ruined. The greatest opulence is to be humble and to be able to hear submissively. Now, having these things, Queen Kunti said, Tvam akinchana gocharam, that you can only understand God when you are impoverished. Now, what does that mean, impoverished? It doesn't mean that if you have all of these things, you have to give them up. It means you have to know that they are not mine. It is all by the grace of God. Nothing is mine. Maharaj Parikshit, he was a great king. He had everything, armies, soldiers, wealth, prestige, learned, wisdom. But he considered, it's all gods, it's all Krishna's. I am just an instrument. And therefore, he was actually tvam akinchana gocharam. He was impoverished. What does it mean to be in poverty? Poverty means to have nothing. Sarvaloka maheshwara. If you understand that Krishna is the proprietor of everything, you have the realization that I have nothing. If you have nice car, if you have nice house, if you have nice family, if you have good education, if you have a very highly placed occupation, if you use it all in God's service, knowing it is all God's grace, you are factually tvam akinchana gocharam. You are a poverty-stricken person. Because in your heart, nothing is mine. It's all Krishna's. So to be in this state doesn't mean you have to give up. It means you have to give up the pride. You have to give up the attachment. You have to use it for Krishna as a humble servant. This was the mood of Maharaj Parikshit. And this is the mood that he is teaching all of us. Yadyaracharati sreshtas tad tad evetadorchaya. Sayat pramanam kurute lokastharanubhartate. What great men do, common men will follow. He is our guru. He is teaching us. He approached Shukadev Goswami, didn't say anything about his qualifications, didn't explain anything about how great he was or how much he knew about the Shastra, didn't talk about his realizations of Krishna. I meet so many Hindu ladies, and their first meeting, they're telling me about all their wonderful dreams of Krishna. Krishna appeared to me and told me this, and Krishna did this, and Krishna did... And very nice. And Haribol. Oh, Krishna actually appeared to him in the womb and saved his life. And Krishna was a family friend. He performed so many miracles for Maharaj Parikshit. But he was not proud of that. Shukadev Goswami, please tell me. I have 7 days to live. Please save me. Give me the shelter of your words. I know nothing. This is Krishna consciousness. This is the state of mind that makes us receptive to the mercy of the Lord. It is described here by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. How important association is. He explains that Maharaj Parikshit freed himself from all sorts of material association and meditated on the lotus feet of the Lord. This is the most important consideration in our life. Our association. Tonight, we are all associating in a devotional atmosphere. So naturally, we are contemplating what is the real purpose of our life. And our devotion to God is increasing. But it will all be neutralized and destroyed, wasted, if we leave this place and associate in a material atmosphere. Now, we may have jobs. We may have occupational responsibilities. And in those responsibilities, there are so many things we have to associate with which are not directly Krishna conscious. And therefore, it's very dangerous. A person who has to do that must take extra special consideration that when he's off his job, that every second is with the association of those things and those people that will help revive my God consciousness. What is our social life? What is our entertainment? Who do we enjoy being with? If we're not willing to give up those things and those people who are simply wasting their lives in sense gratification, in foolish forms of enjoyment, then we are most unfortunate. I see some people here tonight, every night they're coming to satsangs. And they're bringing their families. And every morning they rise early, they chant the holy name of the Lord. They perform arti. They read the scriptures. Some of them even come to the temple every morning for 2, 3, 4 hours to begin their day. Or at least they come to the temple in their own home for 1 or 2 hours to begin their day. They only take Krishna's prasad, either at the temple or in their own home. They do their duties in this world, not in greed, but in honesty. They take the fruits and use whatever they can in charitable work in God's service. And then they spend their night not simply sitting in front of the television set, not just going to all social parties. They make their social life with devotees of God. Our God consciousness. This may sound fanatical. It's not at all fanatical. It's only fanatical in a fool's paradise. To people who are lost in ignorance, this is fanatical. But for cultured people who have spiritual sense, it is just common sense. It is just the natural way of living. It is a fact. What we associate with will determine not only our lives, but everyone that is near and dear to us. This is the number one most important consideration in our life. And that is why, by the grace of our Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and all the great previous spiritual personalities, they have given us all this order, as much as possible, to hold these wonderful satsangs, by which people can come together to have the opportunity, not just once a week, but sincere persons have the opportunity every day, if it's possible. Every morning, every evening, if possible. The facility is there for everyone to have the association of devotees, to hear the glories of the Lord, to chant His holy names, to take the holy prasad of the Lord. This is the prime benediction for all humanity. This is a world of quarrel and hypocrisy. But factually, it doesn't have to be. As soon as sense enjoyment or material conception is the purpose between our relationship, then there will inevitably, in due course of time, be quarrel and hypocrisy. When God's service and God's glorification is the point which brings us together, there will not be quarrel and hypocrisy. There will be love and trust that grows amongst us. And this is the reason Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the holy name of God. And He has explained that it is the prime benediction for all humanity, because it brings together people to increase their own faith and love for one another and their own faith and love for God. There is no greater treasure. There is no greater attainment in all of this creation than to be in the company of sincere souls, to raise our arms, and to sing
the holy names of Krishna. So I'd like you all to kindly accept this great offering which Lord Krishna has given us in the form of the Sankirtan of the holy name. Everyone, please stand up.